Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, who offers some energy saving tips during these hot summer months, especially this weekend, right? Change your HVAC filter once a month for more efficient operation. For more tips, go to mte.com/myenergyplan. Joining us here today from the Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross, the executive director, John Mitchell, and had a cast of thousands coming in today, John, but it's vacation season, so we know all about that, don't we?
That's right. So it's back to me, but that's all right.
Because, yeah.
I thought I was coming in here to talk about the upcoming hurricane season and some of the information. We actually had a conference I didn't attend, but some of my peers did. It was a conference just about getting ready for the hurricane season, and a lot of the statistics you definitely have to take note. So I thought we were going to be talking about that, but before we could even get to that, we've had this heavy rainfall swamped southern Florida, causing life-threatening flooding in Miami, Dade, and Broward counties. So I've gone to Florida to my mom's a lot, and I know this type of season they get heavy rains, mm-hmm. and then it stops and all that, but this just kept coming, so this was kind of unprecedented.
Rainfall rates, I guess this started Thursday and it's still not over, but I think Wednesday and Thursday, I think they're still going to have some showers through the weekend, but especially Wednesday and Thursday there were rain rates of, like, if that storm didn't move for an hour it would put down like 6 inches in an hour.
That's
just nuts.
And there was even places Wednesday alone there was 10 to 15 inches of rain in some of those areas.
It's crazy.
Isolated. But as a matter of fact, there was already the heavy rain, like you said, more rounds will be coming in through Saturday. But this is something that I picked up on in some of our notes. It said a tropical depression or storm could form early next week in the southwest Gulf of Mexico. Rain could also be in parts of Louisiana, Texas, even Mexico, which all kind of feeds into some of the information they were sharing at the conference. The reality of it is, and I've mentioned it before, as an organization nationwide, we're having to respond to these large-scale disasters at a higher rate. And a large scale disaster, definitely you could say, is a $1 billion, something that cost $1 billion. And last year alone, we responded to 28 $1 billion disaster operations.
Wow.
Which is unprecedented. In 2023, we responded to a large disaster every 12 days, and that's shrinked. It used to be double that, maybe 24 days. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Jonathan Taylor, our disaster program manager, who's more up on a lot of these statistics and conversations. And we've changed our conversation. We used to say we're in blue sky or gray sky, and now we're not even saying that. We're in a state of readiness, and I forget what the second part is. So it's a big change for us, and we're having to, react. And that means that we've got great volunteers, but we can use more volunteers. Whether you want to deploy to go 2 weeks to Florida at some point to help with a hurricane response. If you don't, we're still going to need those people locally to respond to the home fires that happen on an unfortunate regular basis.
I was reading a story about some very highly electrical storms. I can't remember where this was in the country now, but the storms were severe, didn't have really a lot of wind damage to report, but there were it sparked four home fires, and lightning can certainly do that. There are many other reasons. So, storms bring lots of hazards. It doesn't have to be just a large tornado or a big hurricane for there to be a disaster. These summertime They call them derechos, where they travel hundreds of miles and just push 80, 100 mile an hour winds out in front of them. Those can do widespread damage. So it has definitely been, it's the second most active spring on in history.
Yeah. Wow.
So this year.
Well, and you bring up a good point that I've picked up on the last couple of years, is we always, you know, talk about tornadoes, but straight line winds can do a lot of damage. And so I think everybody's, you know, getting to the point where they're following, you know, weather forecast, or, you know, they've got some type of alert system. You can go online and download the preparedness app for the Red Cross, and you can sign up and get, you know, notifications as to when things are coming and flash floods. There's all kind of different ways to do it, but, you know, the Red Cross has its own app. You know, I thought it was interesting for the Atlantic 2024 hurricane season, what they're projecting is 85% chance of above normal activity. And in doing so, they were saying that we could expect a possibility of 17 to 25 named storms, 18 to 13 hurricanes, and possibly 4 to 7 major hurricanes, which is, again, unprecedented.
So it has to be at least a tropical storm to be named. So that means at least, what did you say, 25?
Named storms 17 to 25.
Okay, yeah, so 17 to 25, which means at least tropical storm or hurricane.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's about double the average, isn't it?
It is. And so that's why, you know, the Red Cross, one of the things we pride ourselves in and try to stay on top of is being prepared, and that's why they had this hurricane conference. And the language starts changing from, well, if we go down and deploy, to win, you know, with numbers like that, we have to be in that state of readiness and being prepared to help those people in, you know, their greatest time of need.
Well, I've heard so much about the state of Florida, it just kind of sticks out like a thumb, literally.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so far out there that, you know, if you had a storm in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, there's such a high likelihood of Florida being hit, but you've got Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, even up toward Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, you know, where major storms can hit. So, I mean, there's a large area of vulnerable space here.
There is, and for some reason, you know, their forecasting really highlighted that the Tampa area was high on the scales this year. So why it would come in and, you know, come back to the right, I'm not really sure. I do know that, you know, once a system gets in the Gulf, that warmer water there than what it's dealing with, can it reactivate it as it comes close? And I think that's what makes it so tough to really pinpoint on the landfall. I know when I was down in Florida last year, you know, they were just sure it was going to hit a certain area, and sure enough, it was, you know, 30 or 40 miles south. So when our volunteers go down,
Hurricane Ian?
Yeah. And so they'll go down in a state of readiness, and they'll be on the outskirts. So we have some people pre-deploy, but of course they stay away from, it's big for us to make sure that our volunteers are always out of harm's way. But they'll be ready to go wherever it lands. And you really don't know that within that 24 to 48 hour period. It's kind of crazy how it's hard to really pinpoint.
John Mitchell is with us, Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross. He's the executive director. You can tell that I'm a weather nerd, because I'm going to say I watched a documentary on Ian. So there you go. That's the nerdy part. But, you know, when it got closer to the coast, they didn't know if it was going to be, you know, a strong Cat 4 or Cat 5 or what it was going to be. And, you know, you could see how that storm kind of wiggled and wobbled around. And then once it hit the coast, it kind of stayed. You're right. It kind of went several, you know, dozen miles away from the what they thought would be the direct center, but kind of stayed there and dropped rain after rain after rain. Yeah. And, you know, these storms are unpredictable.
They are, and like you say, there's two things you're thinking about: the storm surge and the flooding, and the wind. And just when you think you've maybe escaped one, you're, you know, flooding is a big deal. My mom has a place in Naples, so I was paying attention to the weather down there. And you know, Florida is one of those places where you get these heavy rains and it stops. And you know, again, this was unprecedented. It just sat there and continued to, you know, just accumulate more than they could handle at the moment.
Some, you know, I saw a lot of pictures coming out from that, and I mean, even inland, they had a lot of damage, even in Orlando. And you're thinking, how is that damage from a hurricane? But a lot of that was from high water and flooding, and there were people talking about, you know, things can be destroyed in a tornado and in a hurricane, you know, homes flattened and things of that nature. But flood damage, it just ruins everything, but it's all still there. I mean, but it's all gone and useless, and it's really hard to overcome flooding. There's kind of a mental thing about flooding because it's still there, but ruined.
No, and it's devastating. And, you know, for the last time, you know, my mom's place in Florida, it's in a very nice, modest retirement, you know, 55 and up facility that's trailers with, a lot of nice amenities. But there's a canal in the back of that you can get in a boat, and, high tide, low tide, they can go all the way out to the Gulf. Well, there's your access to the storm surge. And so, for the first time in, you know, over 15 years, they had enough flooding that it affected them. So, yeah, that's and, you know, when I was serving that last hurricane, I was going an hour off the coast and seeing heavy devastation, you know, and including flooding, you know. So,
and that was from one storm.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're talking about four, the National Hurricane Center's prediction is of four major hurricanes, that could just totally change the landscape of four huge areas of our country.
It could. Yeah. It could. So,
well, it's good to have the Red Cross there and on the spot. I know you talked about volunteers. I want to give you a chance to talk about that again. And it's not like, you know, maybe it's not your calling to go to a storm ravaged area in Florida or along the Gulf Coast, but maybe you have a heart to serve locally. There are opportunities, and especially when the people from the Heart of Tennessee chapter do deploy, then there are holes here that they leave that you need people to kind of pick up the mantle.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, anybody that's interested, you can go to redcross.org and look for the volunteering button. It'll get back to us once you put in your zip code. We'll get a trigger locally, you know, that you're interested. Same thing with 1-800-RED-CROSS. Feel free to call my cell phone. I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee with you, or Jonathan Taylor. My cell number is 615-651-3405. Just before I came over here, Brian, I stopped in the office, and I noticed with our blood donation center, we have volunteers man that desk to help check in so the phlebotomists don't have to shuffle back and forth, and we didn't have anyone in. So, you know, we've talked about those high-end two-week deployments, but if you had a little time, could come into the office and greet somebody as they're coming in to give life-saving blood, that's another great opportunity that locally you can make a big impact without leaving the county, and just maybe giving us 4 hours a day, what have you.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there is listening and saying, you know, I've got a couple of days a week, I could give you a few hours a day. Well, that helps. That helps the phlebotomist and makes that whole process go easier for the donor and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross is right there at the Bob, the bridge over
Broad.
Yeah,
501 Memorial Boulevard. Depending on which way you come, sometimes I have to loop behind First Bank and come in the back way. We're right there. We're very visible, a little bit harder to find the parking lot, depending on which way you're coming.
Yeah, there's a little road that cuts off of Memorial if you're going over the bridge, and you can cut back through there. But if you turn on Ridgely Road, you can take the little back way. It's a little bit easier by First Bank, you say. Yeah. John, appreciate it as always. And anything we can do to spread the word about our great Heart of Tennessee chapter of the American Red Cross, be sure to let us know.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much.
That's John Mitchell, the executive director, joining us today on Rutherford Issues. That's it for the show. Have a great day, and we'll be back next time.